DW Africa Link.
Can we take a moment to soak in this glory? Nigeria has done it again, queens of African football, and this time they didn't just win, they conquered.
If you watch the match, you can see that Morocco had that professionalism, they had that coordination, they had that tactics, but the Nigerian women had to show them that, come on, you may have the tactics, you may have the professionalism, but we have what it takes to win, and that's what they brought today.
Every pass, every tackle, every goal was a statement. As a woman, I can't even explain the pride bursting out of me. I'm sure you can hear it in my voice. This isn't just football. This is power, representation, and history being written by women who refuse to be anything less than phenomenal.
We Nigerian women, we are strong. What you think that we cannot do is what we put through. Do you understand? So the definition of the whole thing is that we are strong. We are the top, and we keep on being at the top every day by day. Yeah.
It feels so good because it gives us hope that women can do what men can do. Women can do better because they did not believe that we're going to get to this stage, and now we've gotten to this stage. And we didn't just get to this stage, we also won the football.
The women, regardless of who their opponent is, their aim is to win. They don't want to, they're not even here to play at all. And I think the Super Eagles can learn from that. They don't only have a point to prove to Nigerians, they have a point to prove to Africans, because we can be called the giant of Africa and we are not still, like, both on the female front and on the male front, we should be winning. So they know that, yeah, truly, truly, we are the real giants of Africa. So that's how I feel.
The Super Falcons have shown us what it means to fight, to rise, and to win on our terms. Let's talk about it. Stay tuned. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from and on Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Nigeria crowned a sensational WAFCON 2025 campaign with their 10th title, overcoming host nation Morocco 3-2 in a stunning comeback final. Trailing 2-0 at halftime, the Super Falcons, led by standout performances from Rashidat Ajibade and Chiamaka Nnadozie, roared back with goals from Esther Okoronkwo, Folashade Ijamilusi, and a late winner by Jennifer Echegini. Their journey saw them top their group, edge out South Africa in a tense semi-final, and showcase unmatched resilience and spirit in the final. I mean, these players, with their talent and determination, were instrumental in Nigeria's reclaiming its dominance in African women's football. Their power, unity, and unshakable belief inspired millions across the continent. Joining me for this conversation is our DW correspondent in Lagos, Nigeria, Olisa Chukwuma. Okay, so Olisa, Nigeria has just clinched their 10th Women's Africa Cup of Nations title, defeating Morocco in a thrilling final. Let's start with that. I mean, the final, you know, it was sort of like unpredictable for me, but for many, I think many people knew that Nigeria would clinch this one. How would you describe the atmosphere and the performance?
Well, Josie, thank you very much. The atmosphere was quite a tense one. The Moroccans came out en masse at that capacity stadium of theirs to support their girls, to support their women. This is their second final back-to-back, and they had a 2-0 lead early in the first half, which many in Nigeria were had a bit of concern for, but when it came to the second half, the Super Falcons then turned it around. You know, they had a penalty, the courtesy VAR, to bring pull one back. Then they made it 2-2 and went on to score the third goal through Jennifer Echegini, who came off the bench. So for the Falcons fans, they really had a lot of confidence. It was almost like it was never in doubt that the girls will complete their what they've called their Mission X, Mission 10, and it's mission accomplished. So it was a tense atmosphere and a bit of drama, I think, which was good for women's African football to see that kind of drama play out, coming down from two goals to win 3-2. You know, you only see that in men's football, but hey, we're seeing that in African women's football now.
Yeah. Can you just maybe also paint a picture of how Nigerians themselves reacted to this? You were there and you're on ground during the final tournament.
It was a roller coaster of an emotional one because lots of Nigerians, the entire country was behind the girls. It was Mission 10 mission that Saturday night, and everybody was tuning to their TVs or watching at, you know, viewing centers, approved viewing centers or bars. And all of a sudden, they realized that their girls had considered not only the first goal, but the second goal, two goals down. So, surely for many men who don't really watch women's football, you could see that they were like, ah, we said it. This is what happens. Girls are. You had the Nigerian women saying, no, these are the Super Falcons. Don't worry. Relax. Calm down. Relax. And just like that, you know, they turned it around. They proved all doubters wrong because the whole nation was behind them. And they did not disappoint. You know, there was so much celebrations in match viewing centers. You had women coming out to support the girls. You had men who came out to watch the football match because that was the only national game of importance on that night. So everyone was out there supporting the girls. And it was a huge celebration, especially for the fact that it was a comeback victory, which means the whole, you know, roller coaster of emotions, whether you're a man or you're a woman, you went through that with the Super Falcons as a Nigerian, as a supporter, you know, watching that game.
Yeah. What does this mean, Olisha, for women's football in Nigeria?
Well, it means that Nigerian women are still the dominant force in Africa. It means that the growth is still there in terms of international women's football for Nigerian women, that they are the force to reckon with. It also means that for the African Nigerian girl child, there is something to look out for in terms of if you want to be a sporting hero as a young girl or a footballer as a young girl growing up, or you love sports, you know that there's a standard. Now, you know that there's a standard, which means you are a champion. You have this winning mentality. You are there to win. It's almost like you're condemned to win. So it has its good side and its bad side. But then again, you know, there's also this double-edged sword about, you know, looking inward and making it really professional, especially when it comes to our local women's league. How professional is it? What is the welfare of the players? Because you don't have a Super Falcons without a local system. Yes, we have a lot of international players who come in who are from diaspora communities, you know, Europe, Canada, and the West. But what about our girls who, you know, who break through the ranks from our local leagues here? You know, we also have to look at that on the second thought, because without these young girls who play on our grasses here in Nigeria, we won't have a Super Falcons to represent us in Africa or the world.
And what do you really think made the difference, I mean, for Nigeria in this final?
Winning mentality and grit. Yes, I think that was the difference, because watching the match, going two goals down, you had the feeling that these girls have been there before. They have never lost a final in terms of AFCON. So Nigeria's maintains its 100% record in terms of a final. They have never lost a final when it comes to African football for our women. So it's like, two goals down, and so, you know, they came back and did it, and, you know, did it. So it shows that winning mentality. I think they're almost unplayable now. To be 10-time African champions. In fact, whether men or women's football, I don't think there's any champion winner that's won 10 times of AFCON. I think Egypt for the men only have 7. But in terms of male or female, Super Falcons are the most successful team, football team in Africa, male or female. That's it.
And when you look at the players themselves, Olisha, let's talk about the defense, the strikers. What do you think stood out for them, and also maybe improvements for the future?
Well, clearly, we know that this is a team. Teamwork is always there. We didn't get to see the likes of Asisat Oshoala, you know, so much in this tournament. She was always brought on as a sub, and she's one of the superstars of the team. So it shows you the depth of talent that's in there in the Super Falcons team. You had the likes of Okoronkwo, She has been the dominant force for Nigeria up front. She's young. She's, you know, she's fit. She's agile. You had the likes of Rasheedat Ajibade in midfield, the captain, you know, running things for the team. Even at the back, you had the likes of Ashley Plumter and other ladies, Alozie at right back. You know, these are women who have become mainstay as for the Super Falcons, and they know their job. They clearly know what they do on the pitch. It's left for, you know, other, you know, countries or even for us Nigerians to really pay attention to women's football and see that, yes, it's not just about the Super Eagles, but also about the Super Falcons. You can see defenders, you can see goalkeepers, you can see midfielders, and you can see strikers. They did not need Asita Oshoala to be the main star again for Nigeria, the Super Falcons, without her actually starting so many matches in this tournament. Nigeria are champions again, so what does that tell you? It means that there is always a pool of talent for the Super Falcons to win.
Now, we are talking about individual brilliance. Now, you mentioned a few names, Olisa. Would you say these were your top three players of the tournament?
Yes, clearly, Okoronkwo. She was always a dominant force. She didn't score. I think she has about two goals in the tournament or three. But looking at the final, she inspired Nigeria back in that final, scoring the first penalty and setting up the two goals. She had the assists to make it 2-2, and she also delivered the indirect free kick that led to the third goal. What more can you ask for from your top striker up front? And that's why she started. That is why she's starting, you know, and keeping the likes of Oshoala on the bench. Because let's be frank, Nigeria's got talent. They have got talent.
Now, you spoke of criticism, especially to the coach before the tournament, Olisa, but I'm just thinking now, I mean, they won and they did exceptionally well. How crucial then was his leadership to this victory, in your opinion?
Apparently, more crucial than even a lot of Nigerian fans realize. More crucial, especially when it comes to the men who pay so much to male football and don't really know what's happening in women's football. For journalists and also fans of the Super Falcons who follow the team week in, week out, year in, year out, tournament after tournament, they were the most confident. In fact, it's almost like you had to bring back the men who support the Super Falcons and all the big clubs like Arsenal and Chelsea to tell them that, look, this is women's football. This man knows what he's doing. Watch and now he's won the tournament. You can't criticize him. Get back from two goals down. In fact, Nigeria did not concede a single goal until we got to the semifinals of the tournament. You know, I considered to win the finals and still wanted to win. So you can't begrudge the coach. He's been in setup for a long time. So he clearly knows the team and out. And say a point here, every time Nigeria has won these AFCON tournaments for women, they've always been led by local coaches. Always been led by local coaches. I tell you, it looks like, in terms of local talent of coaching, we've got it, whether male or female. We've had a few international foreign male coaches coach the team, Pits and Bobs across the years. But every time Nigeria Falcons have won, it's always with local coaches. So which means that the talent is clearly home. It is.
Right. And Nigeria's semifinal against South Africa was also a thriller, Olisa. I mean, what stood out for you?
Well, I think the fact that the South Africans knew that it was going to be a fierce match. The South Africans came out for that match. We knew that that one of the Falcons bitter rivals. But the Falcons clearly matched them, you know, toe-to-toe. I think the South Africans were quite physical in that one. And it took a free kick from Alozie to go in and, you know, get the winning goal for Nigeria. That win meant a lot. There's always this rivalry between Nigeria and South Africa, whether it's Amapiano, whether it's the Super Eagles, and now the Super Falcons. It's almost like a blood fest, but this is women's football. We don't have to make it so fierce. The Nigerians were the better team, and they crossed over. And don't forget, I think a lot of Nigerian fans were actually more scared about Zambia due to the likes of they had fearsome strikers who were globally recognized, but Nigeria clearly thumped Zambia, and by then it was like, South Africa are going to collect. Like, if we can beat Zambia, who have good strikers, then South Africa would not be a problem. And going on to then face Morocco, going two goals down, it shows you that the Super Falcons are clearly the dominant force on the continent. Because many will say, how can a team go two goals down and come back and win a final? It shows you that that team is the best team in Africa when it comes to women's football. And that team has now 10 titles. So for people who are non-Africans, if they look at it, they will lose. Like, Nigeria is the team to beat on the continent, period, for women.
Right. And do you think Nigeria's success adds pressure or motivation for CAF to further develop the women's league structure, not just in your country, but continent-wide?
Yeah, it adds more pressure. I think it adds more pressure because fans want to flatter ourselves that we are the dominant force in women's football in Africa, it goes back to that thing I talked about. But what about within? How is the local women's setup? You know, can we really make women's football professional, women's sport professional within Africa, within the African continent? You know, many will say gone are those days where you send the girl child to the kitchen because the girl child wants to score goals, you know, and until we continue, so it starts from the mind until we begin to see that if you want to have your national flag represented internationally by women in a football game, then if your daughter is out there playing football, then you shouldn't send her to the kitchen. Leave her to continue doing what she's doing because whose daughter do you want to go and fly the flag if it's not
right?
Yeah. As a culture, as a people, then can we make this professional? Because women's sport is growing. We just had the women's Euros in Switzerland, in Basel yesterday. We saw England against Spain. You know, that was another, you know, heavy match that went into penalties. So England had champions in their own right in Europe. Nigeria had champions in their own right in Africa. And these are women's global sports, women's visibility. That to say, where in this summer, in June, July, where was the action in terms of football going? What's women's football? And you want to have your country, your continent, you know, well represented. And good thing Nigeria has got that with their 10th title, you know, right now to show for it.
And now with the Olympic qualifiers and the next Women's World Cup ahead, Olisha, with you watching obviously the finals and most of the matches, how should Nigeria build on this momentum?
Well, it all boils down to the support, especially from the football FAs. 10 titles is a lot, but do we rest on our laurels? What will be the plan in terms of the footballing structure for women going forward? Do we leave it to the government or do we want private individuals to come in and professionalize women's football sport? Because it looks like we will continue to be dominant on the continent because we have the population, we have the zeal, we have the drive, we have the vigor. But what does it say about being a professional women's footballer within Nigeria? Is it something that a lady can say, yes, I'm a professional footballer, and people will be happy, but that's how she earns her living, you know, and puts food on the table and perhaps even support her family? How can we make that? How can we take that to the next level? And it's not about going abroad to win the Olympics or the World Cup. I think it has to come back within, you know, it has to come back within. We look at the England game against Spain yesterday. Look, these girls, they play within England. They play within Spain, the Barcelona, the Real Madrid, the Arsenal women, the Manchester City women, the Manchester United women. What about our own women, our girls, who are now 10-time African champions? Where do they play? Do they still have to depend on going abroad, or can they find lights back home in Africa? I think that should be the next step for us as a people.
Right. Now, speaking of these girls, are there any signs of stronger grassroots systems emerging in Nigeria, post-WAFCON now?
We hope that's going to be the case. We really hope that's going to be the case. There's a bit of a start-stop when it comes to our league system, generally, not just men, even for women. I think women is even far worse because it's almost like if it's really ignored. But that's the irony about our systems here. If it's so ignored, how come we're so dominant on the continent? It means we have the talent. But are we really nurturing that talent? You know, so which means we're being unfair in a kind of paradoxical way to ourselves. Because what happens the day when Africa really starts, you know, getting a lot of wings and people, and we have countries like even Angola rising up to beating Super Falcons, they will not be looking at it. They will do it from grass. Look at South Africa. The reason why they can challenge us in the last 3 years, Super Falcons, because they looked within to get, you know, players from within South Africa, their women players to say, yes, when professional sport can do something, we can then challenge those Super Falcons girls. If we have more African countries challenging us, we might have to run for the fences. But if we continue to develop our local talent within, we would always be in the conversation of being one of the best in Africa. Because there's, apart from the Super Falcons national team, we'll have to look at women's club football going forward on the continent. We know that CAF and FIFA have big plans for that. We don't want to be in a situation where when it comes to women's club football in Africa, Nigeria then becomes missing. If that happens, that's going to be a big shame. We don't want that to happen. So let's look within our local leagues and develop them to have those local talents.
Right. There were also tense moments in Rabat that I noticed. I don't know if you did, Olisha, from pitch conditions to officiating. Did anything raise eyebrows for you?
Yes. I think for the pitch, well, what can we say? In Morocco, I think they did well. They are hosting the AFCON for men later this year. So there's been lots of investment in terms of football development in Morocco across the board. In terms of refereeing, I think throughout the tournament, we saw great refereeing. Yes, VAR had its impact in the final, but I don't think it was for, you know, it was for evil. Maybe many Moroccan fans might not be happy with it, but there, VAR is VAR. We saw it was, for the naked eye, we didn't see the handball, but with the benefit of replay, we saw the handball, and that gave Nigeria the impetus to pull one back and, you know, to come back. Generally on the continent, I think refereeing has improved. Josie, if you remember the last AFCON for men, that happened the last year, I think it was one of the highest refereeing standards I'd ever seen as a footballer. And that was AFCON for men, eventually won by Ivory Coast. Whether it was VAR refereeing, the level was just too high. It was almost like if FIFA used that as a basis to test for other Europeans to look at that. Look, within Africa, we're going to test systems that are going to function. And I think that's also rubbed off in Morocco with this women's AFCON. And we'll see more of that in the next AFCON, still in Morocco, but for men in December. And that's going to be the one that's really going to get the continent really, 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 you know, up its feet. And now that Nigeria are women's champions of AFCON in Morocco, there will be pressure on the Super Eagles, our so-called men, to go to Morocco and also, you know, make it back-to-back, male and female champions, to really be the giants of Africa. So I'm looking forward to this AFCON later this year in Morocco for men, because trust me, Josie, African tournament has brought something apart from the football on the pitch in terms of continental banter that even the West cannot. It's healthy rivalry, and I think it's good for us.
So absolutely,
Africa has to try and prevent the men who almost won it last time in Ivory Coast. They have to prevent Nigeria from winning this year's AFCON in Morocco, because if Nigeria does win AFCON for men and AFCON for women, it means like it's good night, Nana. You know, nobody's going to challenge Nigeria anymore. There's Afrobeat, there's Nollywood, there's Super Falcons, and there's Super Eagles. Where would Africa go to? So in terms of the banter, I'm looking forward to it, that tournament later this year.
It's like they should make you Minister of Marketing for your country, hey, Olisha, because the way you really talk about your country is out of this world. But I also want to know from you, I mean, we are both journalists, how the media coverage of this one win comparing to past tournaments, and is it finally like catching up to the players' level of excellence?
It is, because it cannot be ignored. You know, you cannot be ignored with Nigeria having a very, you know, broad commercial media base. It's almost like if you can't be forgiven, you would never be forgiven for ignoring the Super Falcons. Every news channel was following the progress of the tournament. We have a lot of female sports journalists now who are very passionate, you know, who travel with the team, who continue to share things locally, you know, on social media and also with their official, you know, platform broadcast handles about the progress of the team, their training and all that. And as we speak to you now, this is, you know, we're waiting for the Super Falcons to land in Abuja. The capital is going to be rolling out the green carpet, so to speak, because it's going to be an open bus tour around the city of Abuja. The capital, the president is waiting for them. So we know that the news as of today, by around close of business today, what people want to see and hear is that the Falcons have brought this new trophy and they are parading it in Abuja for the world to see and for the president to see. So that's what we are waiting for. That will have a lot of media coverage and buzz. People want to see those girls who they were watching on TV bring that cup and other young girls can see, look, that is Azizat Oshoala, that's Ashley Plumter, that's Okoronkwo, that's Jennifer Chejin. These are the girls who we saw do that incredible feat in Morocco. Yeah, here now in flesh and blood with that trophy. And we all know that when they finish in Abuja, it will still come to Lagos, where, you know, they will block traffic.
Right?
The Falcons cannot be, we can't escape the Falcons at least for the next 3 days. It's going to be celebrations.
Right. Right. DW correspondent in Lagos, Olisa Chukwuma, many thanks for joining us here on DW Africa Link podcast. That's it for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you are not just a listener, but a crucial part of our community, and your engagement can shape the direction of our discussions. We value your insights and encourage you to share your thoughts with us. Remember, your voice matters, and together we can continue to celebrate and empower women in sports. You can find all of the Africa Link podcast episodes on Spotify and Apple, or wherever you listen to your podcasts from. This episode was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabi. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Thanks for listening. Until the next one, it's bye for now.
DW. Made for minds.